Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Well, Travis, we've got a main event at Crown Jewel where the show went off the air hyping it with Roman Reigns getting the finisher from LA Knight. And selling it pretty big time as the announcers talk about the imagery. If this happens at Crown Jewel, we have a new champion. During the match, they talked about what people have been saying. What is the narrative of LA Knight, which is he's red hot. He's the hottest act in WWE right now. But can it last? Will it last? Can he win the big one? Or, and use this phrase, but is he kind of a flash in the pan? Is this a short-term thing? They're acknowledging reality, but also giving you the imagery of what it would take for him to win. I thought they did a good job tonight. I think they've done a good job overall with LA Knight, and credit where it's due, LA Knight's done a good job. I thought he was good in the contract signing tonight. They're acknowledging what people are saying and actually marketing that as a selling point for the match. I think ultimately people still figure he won't win, but I think they've done enough for the kind of casual mainstream fan who's really an LA Knight to think maybe it is LA Knight's time. How have you felt about the push in recent weeks and also, of course, in particular tonight, right up until the final scene?
Yeah, I've been into how they've pushed LA Knight the last 2 months when it's become obvious that they're going to do something with him. And tonight was no different. It was solid booking, I guess, and decent execution. Like, what else can you ask for? You said it a second ago, LA Knight, he delivers. He hasn't had that. I wasn't paying the closest attention to the match, but I didn't see, the LA Knight botch, or I didn't cringe when he, I cringe sometimes when he goes for that, his finishing.
The leap.
Well,
the leap on
no,
the
not, top. Not the leap, because he's, if anything, he just falls backwards, or at worst, to the side, and I guess even worse, knocks the other person off, too. But he seems, it's more in control in a controlled situation. It's that damn power slam that he does when he kind of flips the guy on the shoulder real quick, and then boom. And it happens so fast, and it's such a slick, literally and figuratively, slick exchange. and I go, ooh, every time he, does that. But, he's a big guy and strong and muscular, so he pulls it off even when it's not so graceful. But overall, and specifically tonight, I've been impressed God, I can't think of the word. Not satisfied, but kind of just, I'm happy with what they've given him to do, and how he's taken it and run with it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in case I missed it, if he had his sort of obligatory botched spot of the match, and I didn't notice it either. I thought it was smooth. I thought they told the story really well. One thing I want to underline too is I think the announcers did a great job, not only talking about Knight and whether he is going to be a short-term fad who's really popular at the moment, or if he's going to what the Grace asked, is he a hot hand at the moment, or can he lead WWE into the future? And Cole said, in this business, you got to strike when the iron is hot, and Knight is doing that. Grace said he thinks it's a tall task, but not an impossible task, and Knight seems up for it. Then I like Cole went into talking about how life changes when you become champion, that you become your pay goes up, which I love when they talk about that. You don't want to talk about it all the time, but that is part of, hear about it in sports all the time. If you're an all-star player, if you hit certain goals, if you're in demand, you get max contracts. You get hundreds of millions of dollars these days. And so you want to incorporate that into your talk because it makes people seem like bigger stars. He also said there's demands on your time, magazine appearances, interviews, podcasts, all that stuff. And by doing that, one, you're propping up the idea of what the championship means, which you should just do. You shouldn't take it for granted, underlining it and emphasizing it, even if you think it's inherently obvious or known to your fan base, is helpful. It's essential. I mean, if you really want to maximize the value of the title, but it also creates this image in viewers' heads who are really into LA Knight right now, which is, oh yeah, is he ready for that? And they start imagining him as champion and how life-changing it'll be for him if he wins. There's a new Speaker of the House in the United States. I've been talking about that. He's like the least experienced Speaker of the House ever, and people are like, oh God, he doesn't even know what he's in for. The demands for that job, the things he has to learn quickly, the staff's going to have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
You start learning about what Speaker of the House entails in ways that you took for granted when it was people who had been in the House for much longer than Mike Johnson has been. So it's similar in that way. Like, and I like that. I like that you're building up. It's not just a match. It's not just a prop. It's a change in your life. So regardless of who's in the match, you want to do that. But it really struck me as smart with LA Knight because he's come on so quickly. And you do want to, one, create the image in fans' minds, this might happen, but also go, it's not just celebrating a championship and then defending it. It's your life changing. And in the 90s, I remember wrestlers telling me, you know, it was kind of a big thing like, oh, Shawn Michaels doesn't know what he's in for. And then he would talk about it. Man, the demands of being champion completely changes. I asked Hangman Page after he won the AEW title how he's going to approach at the media Q&A, how he's going to approach showing up at Dynamite on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, because world champions typically are locker room leaders. There's more pressure put on them. Behind the scenes, people look at you differently. And Hangman had no answer. It's like it hadn't crossed his mind. But nevertheless, he was wrapped up in the moment. I know. And it turned out. It portended something in the sense that maybe he hadn't thought seriously enough about it. But nevertheless, that's a real thing is my point. Like people talked about that with Brett and Sean and how Vince really cared about that you had to represent yourself. You had to dress the part and you had to be on demand all the time. So anyway, I just wanted to underline that. I think it was really nice detail that came through in the announcing tonight that added to the spectacle of this red hot 1 year to his WWE run LA Knight against Roman Reigns. And then the contract signing, that's commentary during the main event with Knight, but the contract signing I thought was well done. I thought Knight was very good, taking the head of the table spot and having Reigns sort of be okay with it or tolerate it was sort of an alpha moment for Knight. And I think that's important for somebody as new and unproven as Knight is to have sort of an alpha moment in that press conference. And then he did at the end of the show with Blunt Force Trauma. You really, without just overdoing it, you want to show he has the confidence to not be intimidated by the moment. And Reigns, he won't show it.
Well, until he did.
Yeah. So,
which was good, great in and of itself, how he just riled him up and kept the heat on him and built that thing for 8-10 minutes until Roman couldn't take it. And it wasn't just storming out. He's, literally turned a table on him.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. It was building up inside of him. It was building up. And then suddenly it's just like, you can't take it anymore. I thought they did a really good job. I mean, we've talked about, can they make this work with how unproven LA Knight is in this kind of spotlight? And I thought he came through. He came through as more than just a series of catchphrases. And we also had Facts of Life thrown in, which I don't think he had. I don't think he had said it on a WWE promo so far, but maybe I just completely missed it.
Yeah.
An oldie but goodie on the best of charts for him. Travis, anything else you want to say about the contract signing or the main event and the hype for Knight?
No, it really spoke for itself. I mean, they did a good job of seemingly letting those guys, I'm not going to say free reign and ad-lib the whole thing, but it felt like two guys that didn't like each other and for reasons. And they had to tolerate each other. And then again, sitting in his seat and poking him. It was really well done and just good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's pause and formally introduce ourselves and then get on with the show with calls and emails. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, October 27th, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of Pro Wrestling Torch, long-running weekly paper copy newsletter, now also published as a PDF and all-text edition every week on our VIP website, and the founder, editor, publisher of PWTorch.com, our main website, and the host of many podcasts throughout the week, including the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows following SmackDown, Collision, Raw, and Dynamite, and also the weekly flagship. This week, Jason Powell joined me, and we talked about a lot of AEW and WWE topics and some Impact, too. So check that out if you haven't yet. That's our blue logo show. This show that you're listening to is our red logo show, the post shows. Subscribe by searching Wade Keller when the red and blue logos show up. Subscribe to both, and you'll be covered. While you're at it, search PW Torch and subscribe to the podcast hosted by other people on the PW Torch team. The other voice you hear is Travis Bryant. He is the star of the PW Torch East Coast cast, now VIP exclusive every week. Travis, welcome back to the co-host chair.
Thanks for having me, Wade. Appreciate the invite, as always.
Absolutely. Great having you on to talk about the show we just watched, and we invite our listeners to do the same thing. If you want to give us a call, the number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That will flag you on our switchboard so that we know that you want to be brought onto the show. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And I'll be checking that inbox throughout the show. You do not need to listen to our live stream to participate by email. If you can't listen live or choose not to, no problem. You can download the show later, but you can still be part of the show by emailing during Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, or Collision. All right, let's just get to calls, and we'll begin with Shinedu, who is up first. Shinedu from Baltimore, welcome to the show. What's in your mind about SmackDown today?
Good afternoon. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound good. You sound clear.
And this is Megatron, sir. Good to talk to you, Wade, and Travis. Travis, you from Philly, right? Right. I went to Temple in probably around the same time as you, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I graduated right. Temple in, I guess, 2002 or something like that. But I guess the first thing I was saying is, in terms of like the main crux of the show with the the Roman Reigns LA Knight gimmick, angle is to me what I'm Wade, you were saying they did a good job framing it as yeah he could win, but we it depends on who you. I guess what I'm saying is that like how do you deal with the inevitable loss. You know, because it's been happening for years. Drew McIntyre, that's the bad side of a long reign on top, right? And so it never be LA Knight loses, and I feel like it's harder for him to sort of establish himself because he didn't get to that mid level yet. You know what I mean? Like he just went from nothing to like the top. So when he loses, he's not like when Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens loses, you know what I mean? They're still established versus like, yeah. So I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I understand how they're building for this match, but like, how is it? Yeah, how? Like, let me stop talking. I'm done.
Yeah, we got you.
I was gonna bring that up. It crossed my mind in the intro, but I hope they're thinking about what's next now and for the last, 2, 3, 4, 5, like what are we going to do with LA after Saudi when what's his, I hope LA Knight is thinking about the promo, the SmackDown after, I guess next 2 weeks from now, what's he going to say? How's he going to, sucks, but got to assume he's going to lose. That's just kind of where we
are. That's what I'm saying. So what can he say?
I hope he has, he's formulating his promo or at least the crux of, how he wants to frame that promo. Obviously everything depends on the booking and how the match ends and all that stuff. But I hope he's thinking about it. If they give him an idea, this is probably the likely finish. And, you know, he's been digging deep for what's next. So, yeah, I hope and I assume, because I trust all parties involved, that they are planning for what is LA Knight doing in November and December and headed into the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Go ahead, Wade. I'm sorry.
Sinead,
because I'm
thinking
they might be burning up the candle. Like you said, they might be burning up the get him while he's hot now and bleep what happens to him later. You know what I mean? They might not be thinking about it long term. Get it while it's hot now, and then who cares what happens to him later? That's what I was thinking about. But go ahead, Wade. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, you kind of stole my thunder a little. I mean, I think they know he's popular enough that they have something planned for after this. I mean, let's be honest. We'll all be shocked if Roman Reigns loses on Saturday, but that's okay. You know, you don't. There's things we watch where we know the outcome, but we still want to watch it happen. For what part of it is what you just said. Part of it is, will Knight rise to the moment? Will he perform well enough and in a way that where people go, all right, it wasn't time for him to win the title, but they can revisit this later. And the next thing he does is going to be a big deal, and I want to watch it. But they do need to pivot him to something else that doesn't feel like his lack of success a week from Saturday is evidence or proof or an I told you so, even storyline-wise, for people who said he wasn't ready. Now, Roman doesn't need to win clean against Knight. He might, and I would encourage them to do so, frankly. I think you can tell a lot of stories if that's what they do. But either way, I think that they will have a pivot to the next thing for him planned. Because, like, this doesn't feel like, oh, we need an opponent for Roman for Crown Jewel. That'll seem like a big deal, but it's not WrestleMania or SummerSlam and, you know, whatever, Cesaro type thing. This feels like the start of something.
Absolutely.
And they just in case he burns out, flames out, I should say, and fans sort of go, oh, he's not that good. And it was fun for a month. It was fun for 4 months, but now we're over it. Who's the next guy? If it is that, they didn't wait too long. And I applaud them for that. But I think he's done well enough that he'll continue to get a push. But I do hope, Travis, they have something very specific in mind that fans will think is worthwhile for him to do next that doesn't feel too lower card. I don't know. Does anyone come to mind?
Yes. Could this be the reason Logan Paul beats Ray Saturday and you're setting up LA for, I don't know if they have Logan Paul hold that thing till WrestleMania and beats him there. But I almost think it's like they use Logan Paul as a transitional U.S. champion for a month or two. So the idea is to get it on LA and have him defend it at WrestleMania. And
I like that. Yeah. I mean, that would be a suitable, I think that would be a suitable follow-up.
Yep. No, because I was just saying in general what happens over the years that, you know, somebody comes up to a certain level and then they don't think about the fallback plan. And like Travis came through with the Logan, but that means, because usually, you know, I remember like Dolph Ziggler, like he wasn't a championship man. Like once you come to the top, like they really aren't good at keeping them in like the middle to upper tier. But Travis moved it down. The only other one thing I want to talk about is the Street Profits with Bobby Lashley.
So
I guess they changed the music, right? They changed the music. They still, but I feel like the problem with that is that, like, the LWO is the worst group for the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley to be in a feud against, because they're both like cool type. You know what I mean? Like we they have to put, if you're trying to get the Street Profits over in heels, then make them be like aggressive heels and not like all, you know, happy and smart and like charismatic and not against people who are sort of half and half also, you know. So that, because really this whole show, when I saw, there was nothing else in the show, really. Like, there was only like two angles in the show. So like I like what they're trying to do with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. I just don't know if it's really working. But then again, I do have a weird opinion. So I want to hear what you guys want to say about this.
Thanks, Sinead. Yeah, Travis, what did you think of the new music? And what did you think of what Sinead said about the matchup here with Legato?
I don't mind the matchup. The matchup, I don't have any issue with that. But yeah. The music was, you know, it's new music. And I was kind of thrown off, like, wait, what? What's that?
It seems fine to me. I mean, like, sometimes, like, even songs I end up really liking, it takes me listening to them for a week, 12 times before. The other times I hear a song, I'm like, I love this song. And other times, it takes just, like, before I really know if it's going to be a song I like a lot, it has to kind of ingrain itself. This was a song that didn't just jump out as, like, awful, but it didn't jump out to me as, like, wow, they totally hit a home run here. But that was good. And, you know, in a few weeks, we'll see if it seems to match well.
Yeah, and it looks like, I'm not sure if I didn't notice it before, but it looks like Dawkins had a new, like, ring jacket style. It looked a little different than what he was, even his updated, because I didn't like his kind of, like, pirate kind of naval, not the pirate, but kind of naval captainly kind of look. This one is a little better.
Yeah, yep. How do you feel about, Travis, just the idea of changing the Street Profits, and, you know, the announcer's talking about, hey, people don't like it, they don't care. Lashley's helping them take the career to the next level. I'm glad I didn't, you know, New Day have been stale for a while. Street Profits were at risk of just sort of being seen in a similar way. And also, I just think Dawkins and Ford as heels is something I'm intrigued to see them expand into being. Like, I want to see a different side of them. And so far, so good. There's a little bit of a Ford kind of mean mugging the camera that feels a little put on. That isn't blowing me away yet, but he's new in this role. I'm guardedly optimistic, but I'm not going, oh man, this is what he was made for quite yet. How about you?
Yeah, he's new in this role at this level. I mean, they've had a run as heels in NXT. But it's a different context, and Lashley being with them, I don't know. Like, is he taking them to the next level? Like, they seem to be doing the same thing they were doing a year ago, just with a more aggressive attitude, Cole.
I think the idea was they were just sort of treading water, and so now they're more aggressive, and they're telling the story that Lashley will lead them to a more dominant run, as opposed to kind of falling back, which I think the story is they fell back a little bit. They were the hot new thing, had success, and then it was sort of like, what have you done for me lately? And not a lot. And obviously they have to tell that story and show it, not just tell us. But I think they're at the beginning of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't dislike it at all. It's a fine story. I get it. It's, you know, something I can follow. I understand. And they're not they're framing their actions as aggressive. And themselves, the Dawkins and Ford haven't done, well, they jumped some folks from behind. But these days, that's just kind of like, sometimes you got to jump a guy. that's not the most heelish thing you can do. Like, you have to be a really over baby face for people to really care that, oh, he got jumped from behind. But they're still kind of cool heels. And they're not, you know, dastardly or anything. So maybe that's what they're working up to. But I'd like that explained once it does happen. Like, they could have, Bobby Lashley could have taken their careers to a next level without the overt heel stuff, like getting mad when they wouldn't cheat. And they seem to have gone away from the overt, like, cheating. Did they cheat to win tonight? I'm about to play myself. But, I mean, it's all good. I dig them, and I'm looking forward to what's next for them.
Yeah, and they just benefited from Logan attacking Ray and then Escobar giving Carlito permission, encouraging him, go check on Ray. And they didn't really cheat. They just took advantage of a situation. So, but, you know, I think the key is you want to follow up and have, you know, one thing they could do is just have Ford and Dawkins gloat about their victory as if they accomplished something that wasn't the result of Carlito running to the back to check on Ray, the Logan attack, and have them over, like, make too much out of the win in a way that's going to make turn people off. And I know, you know, some fans are like, think that doesn't work, but I think there's a lot of people sitting at home who would be like, they'd want to go to the arena and boo the Street Profits if they start acting like they accomplished more than they did in some of their matches. And they start, you know, again, this was not cheating. It was just benefiting from circumstances. But the key to be heelish about it is, you know, gloat about it, make too much of it. And, you know, you piece together instances like that over the next several weeks, and then you have a more established, firm heel act. But they, like I said, I'm guardedly optimistic, but I'm not blown away yet, you know, but I think we're early on. But I just don't want Montez Ford to just, you know, like mean mug the camera and think that's being a heel. Like, I got to feel more than I am so far.
Yeah.
And what like you think said, about, show us, don't tell us.
Yeah. And what'd you think about the matchup with the LWO?
Oh, I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem. Yeah. I mean, I understand where Sinead was coming from, but I mean, it worked. I don't think it's a no disrespect. I don't think it's like a huge deal. I mean, it's just they only have so many teams, and they wanted to tell the story they told, and I thought the story worked. Sinead, anything else you want to contribute before we move on?
No. That's it. Like, I think you kind of made my point. And I was trying to say that, like, if, like, after listening to what you're saying, like, if they would have came out week two and been, like, total heels and, like you said, mean mugging the camera, like, so it has to be, like, a subtle, you know what I mean? You can't go from cups falling 1 week to, you know, being, you know, ice grilling the camera the next week. So I do appreciate the, you know, long-term storytelling. Mm-hmm. Of that. So that's pretty much all I got. Like, I said, I always appreciate all the work you put in. Wade, I know you put in mad hours. Travis, here, you got to talk to my boy, Malefe Sate at Temple University. You know, you may already know him, but you guys take care. Have a great weekend, and be good. I appreciate your work.
Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for the kind words. All right, if you're just joining us on our live stream here, the number is 347-215-8558. Don't forget, you can go VIP and hear these shows with the ads and plugs removed, a nice streamlined listening experience, along with a ton of other exclusive podcasts for VIP members and unmatched historical archives dating back to the 1980s and a smooth and fast-loading ad-free PWTorchVIP.com website mirroring the free site without ads and with bonus content. PWTorch.com/GoVIP to sign up. You can sign up through Patreon directly from your Apple account on your iPhone with a single click to get all our VIP podcasts or get the whole package of VIP content and benefits by signing up with credit card, debit card, or PayPal. All the details on that. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. All right, up next, Jay from Michigan. Jay, good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight about SmackDown?
Good evening, gentlemen. So I actually wanted to sort of speak. Yeah, you guys have to excuse me, man. My voice is a little hoarse, so hopefully you can hear me clearly. But I wanted to speak on the topic that you guys – I'm just actually calling. So I heard you guys talking about the Bobby Lashley Street Profits dynamic. And I feel like you somebody may have mentioned this prior to me calling, so I'm going to put that disclaimer up. But I feel like what really makes Bobby Lashley such a huge heel, because he expressed this emphasis of the Street Profits not doing what it takes to, you know, by any means necessary, et cetera. But I don't feel like Bobby Lashley has been known as for cheating. You know what I mean? He's been known as being dominant. And I'll also say, like, for the last year, Bobby Lashley's character has been, like, from week to week changing. Like, 1 week he's a heel, next week he's a face. Like, during that whole, you know, U.S. title triangle between him, Rollins, and Theory, he was bouncing back and forth characters on Raw. Like, he was kind of something every week. different from the way he was previously. And on top of that, like, I'm looking at him now, and I feel like nobody points this out, but when Bobby Lashley comes to the ring, he's smiling, he's fist pumping, he's pounding fists with the fans. Like, what is he doing that's making him such a, like, a heel? That's where I'm confused at, yeah. Because it's like everybody seems to be on board with this. And I'm not saying I'm not on board with this, but I feel like there has not been enough consistency within Bobby Lashley's character to just say, hey, Bobby's this heel, and these guys, you know, need to be following his lead. And like you said, Travis, like, is he really leading them to anything significant?
Yeah, would you like to see anything different from Lashley, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, Jay makes some good points about that I didn't think about, but are certainly there. Like, yeah, I don't, like, why is beyond the suits and, like, the finer things that Lashley has to offer, what is it that he literally, like brings? Like, what does he give? What does he do for them? It's one thing, like, hey, Bobby Lashley's a veteran. He's been in WWE since 2005, or at least, you know, he made his debut back then, and he's got a lot of years in. He's made a lot of connections. Like, I hear myself. So sell it that way, or at least point, make that a point. But yeah, it is kind of in the back of your head, like, yeah, it's Bobby Lashley. Who's he to be like, hey, be under my tutelage? Like, he's been good, but he's not, like, they're, you know, overly successful where he can just spread that around.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more from Lashley in segments and promos. You know, let's get more of an example of what he's doing to bring that out in them. And the thing with Lashley is he can come across as aloof and arrogant and feeling above people when he's trying to be a heel, but he's mostly just sort of a soft-spoken, seemingly like a genuinely nice guy. So they need to work a little harder at getting us to understand the dynamic and chemistry with the three. And it doesn't seem like they put enough work into that yet.
Wade, I think an easy fix for all this would be if Bobby Lashley was having a parallel success in his singles career,
yeah,
where he's like, look at me, I'm winning my matches, I'm you know, I dominate my opponents. We ain't seen Bobby Lashley wrestle once in the last 2-3 months, it feels like. So I think that doesn't help, that he's just kind of this manager type that doesn't fit that role wholly, as the, you know, again, if he was player coach, where he's also, again, wrestling twice a month on TV and at all the pay-per-views or premium live events, I think that the feel and the story they could tell would be different. And I think the promos and interactions between Lashley and the Profits would then have to be different. Like, the feel of the promos and interactions backstage and in those segments with the finer things would have a little more weight to them.
I still am, like I said, guardedly optimistic they'll figure this out. But I think it is for sure worth saying there's room for them to do some of the things that we're talking about here and build on that dynamic more. And I do think having Lashley do more in the ring, you know, be wrestling more often would be better. But anyway, let's go back to Jay for any follow-up. Jay, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, I think one fix for this and a step in the right direction is, why not just add MVP to this? You know, I feel like MVP should have been involved from the start. MVP is the one who actually gave Lashley that swag. So it feels like you're trying to do Hurt Business, Bobby Lashley, without the most integral part of the Hurt Business, which was MVP. So if you put MVP in the mix, I mean, since when is Bobby Lashley the mouthpiece manager type? And like you said, Travis, like, it ain't like he's been putting a lot of work in the ring to, like, really have – I understand WWE views Bobby Lashley on a lot higher level than Street Profits, and in theory it makes sense. But they got some work to do to actually like put the foundation behind it. And I think that, like, you know, it's a little bit miscast. Bobby Lashley's character's been very inconsistent, and then he's like just gone, and now he comes back and like he's supposed to be this heel, but he's not really truly acting heel. Like, I just think if you put MVP in the mix, you kind of tighten up the loose ends, man, and, you know, make this thing come together a little more. But I don't like you said, Wade, I'm not saying I don't think this can't work. I'm just saying, like, I'm just really speaking to some things that I've noticed, and I don't feel like it's really being spoken upon.
Yep. Travis, would you like to see MVP in this group? Would he add to it? Would he fill in a missing gap?
At this point, it would feel, you know, like, oh, it's not working. Let's add a thing. But Jay's almost right. Like, why wasn't he a part of this in the beginning? I guess, well, in the beginning, they probably still had hopes that Omos was going to do something, and they needed him with that, and they didn't want to combine. They didn't want to do Hurt Business 2.0, basically. But if it was, or if it was MVP alone, Bobby Lashley not in the picture at all with the Street Profits, if it was MVP wanting a presence on SmackDown, you know, because he's got Omos on Raw, or had Omos on Raw, I don't know what's going on over there, and he's, you know, doing this, so he could have done the whole thing with the suits and the fine wines and the whole thing. He could have done that. It could have just been MVP, and it would have been a little more, it made a little more sense. And but again,
right,
I don't know
right.
what's happening.
Wait,
with
we're
so.
Sort of spinning here. Jay, anything else you wanna turn the page to?
Yeah. So with the Roman Reigns LA Knight situation, I mean, I feel like they're doing an adequate job of making LA Knight feel not like a legit contender, but just feel like he belongs on this stage. And I think LA Knight just has such a, like, an abundance of charisma, and like, just, I mean, he felt a little like Stone Cold tonight with that contract signing. Mm-hmm. Just like his whole disposition was very Austin-esque. But one nuance that I feel that, you know, I noticed with Roman in these moments is that when there is, in particular, a guy like Cody Rhodes, or, you know, who had been building momentum and really over with the fans, and with LA Knight currently, I feel like Roman leans even more so into being like a, you know, douchebag heel to, like, prop up the baby face, like, because Roman is such a cool heel,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, he really doesn't, like, cut down the fans or do anything like that on a consistent basis. Like, most of his heel tactics are toward his family, you know. But when there's momentum that's behind, like, the momentum behind Cody building toward that WrestleMania match, it felt like Roman, like, consciously was like, okay, I'm going to lean into being, like, a real a-hole heel and, like, really, really get these people to support Cody and want him to do this. And I feel like he's kind of trying, even though it's such a smaller, you know, window to, like, really, really build this, and I don't think anybody truly believes LA Knight's going to win, but I feel like he's leaning into it because he looks at it like, you know, as a company, LA Knight can be a focal point as a babyface, and let me lean into this to help, you know, build this story. So, of course, that's a great thing to do.
Yeah, I think Roman is working hard to put LA Knight over. I don't think there's been top guys where you think, oh, they're sabotaging someone out of unprofessionalism or jealousy or feeling threatened. And Roman's just trying to get the best he can out of LA Knight. And so big credit to him for that. The suffer and succotash line, you know, obviously, you know, Roman knew it was coming. But, you know, I love that they called back on that. That was, you know, LA Knight just saying, you know what, Roman, you might be cool, but you weren't always cool, and I've always been cool. You haven't always been, and look at me. I'm in main eventing after a year, and you were saying suffering succotash.
Wait a second. How much – now, I don't think it is, but is that kind of like
is Vince McMahon watching that like, oh, this son of a bitch? Like, you know, it's a guy he wanted off of his TV or in a manager role, disparaging a line you know Vince wrote or certainly approved and probably cackled at as he's telling Roman to say it. It's like, oof, that's a...
Roman's got a sense of humor about the things that went wrong, and I have a sense, honestly, without, you know, say what you will about the Vince McMahon, but he knows, and he's set. He doesn't always get it right the first time. And you know, I don't think he's super insecure about the fact that there were some missteps with Roman. Not that, you know, anybody should really care about Vince things at this point, given the state of things. But, you know, he was obviously the major figure in this business for decades. So, you know, but I didn't take that as like some dig. And I really don't think even Vince would have vetoed that. All right, Jay, any closing words from you? Any closing topic?
No, I think I touched on the things that I wanted to touch on, man. It's always a pleasure. Again, you know, with Travis on, once I heard Travis was on, I had to call in. So, you know, kudos to you guys for putting together, you know, this is my favorite team right here, man. Wade and Travis. I'll be totally transparent. This is my favorite duo, man.
Hey, Wade, did you see that it was a 5 years ago episode was us two?
Yeah.
And schedule it that way?
No, it wasn't. I didn't. I mean, it was happenstance, but it was cool.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. cool. Jay, thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Of course, man. I want to give a shout-out. I don't know if he's been on yet tonight, but I just want to give a shout-out to my dog, Brad, man. He always holds it down and has kind things to say about me. Wade, don't edit this out, because I've done this before and you edited it out. So just, you know, sending my
wow.
I'm praising Brad, man. Yeah, I broke the fourth wall there, Wade. I apologize.
Wait a second. I have not edited you praising Brad. That is not a thing that I have time to do.
It's the censorship
it happened,
for me.
It happened. It happened. I promise you, Wade, it did.
Well, first, thanks for listening back. My hunch is there was just an audio issue where it just had to be taken out because there was a bunch of background noise. And that on occasion happens where the audio quality is so bad, I take it out. But
wow.
I have no problem with praising Brad. Although now I'm tempted. Hold on, Jay. Now I'm tempted to edit it out just to mess with you.
Don't bury me, Wade. All I heard was
get a better phone connection, Jay. Wow, this Wade just disparaging.
Oh man,
I think he did
flex on me a little bit with that Travis. I felt that energy too, man. But it's all good, man. I love him, Wade. Get a little spicy, man. I try to bring that out of him, especially when you on, Travis. I feel like that's when Wade really getting his bag. So man, take it.
All right.
Thanks, Jay.
Appreciate
you
guys, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Very good. Hey, Jay just won me over because he uses his turn signal. Use your turn signal, people. It's like literally the least you can do as a courtesy for other people. How many times have I sat at trying to get out of it, turn onto a street, and someone's coming at me from the left, and they turn right next to me. I'm like, if you had your freaking turn signal on, I could have been 20 seconds ahead in my day. And you didn't have you couldn't just flick your finger on that little knob next to your steering wheel. What's wrong with you? So when I hear a turn signal, I like you. All right. It doesn't take much. That's okay. Maybe if you don't use it, you're dead to me. But if you do use it, there are probably a couple of things you got to do.
Okay.
All right. Joe in Albany, you are up next. Joe, thanks for holding. What's in your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Wade, Travis, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing all right.
And also, you know, I have to say, I was like, where is Jay going? There's so many turns, you know? I feel like I do appreciate an indicator because, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine too. In addition to being really dangerous, but I was wondering like, wow, this guy is not going straight at all. But I did want to say, I thought tonight was a pretty good show. Do kind of get a little nervous sometimes when it's on FS1 because not that I think they'll kind of mail it in or anything, but I feel like the show might not be as good as it would have been. But
yeah.
I think tonight was
the
really
last
good.
Two and times they've been on FS1. It's a Roman returning episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been kind of baffled. Like, wow. Maybe they're just trying to stem that tide or, but yeah, I'd like to know the decision make, like the thinking.
I think what, like here, they're taping right now next week. So they get 2-for-1 out of Roman. So that's part of it. But I think it just has been happenstance. When there's been a World Series, you know, whatever else is on Fox, it just so happens to be at a time when you would expect Roman to come back. I haven't felt like they've been trying to, like, you know, not goad people, but like incentivize people when they might otherwise skip it. Because I think people who don't watch an FS1 are just people who don't have cable, or they tune into Fox and are like, oh, it must be preempted this week. It's not like because Roman is on, suddenly people are going to get cable or not be confused when it's not on. So if that is what they're doing, I mean, that's kind of cool in a sense. Like, we know we'll have a smaller audience, but we're going to try to minimize the drop off by, you know, putting them out there at a time when,
which is what,
you know,
which is
there'll
a little
be fewer
different than they've little different than they've done in the past, right? You know, we've seen those episodes where they're kind of, you can tell, oh, they knew they weren't going to get a large audience on this one, so it's serviceable, but it's not anything great.
Yeah.
And I thought that tonight they did a pretty good job of building stuff up. I know we talked a lot about LA Knight tonight, but I just want to add that. And I want to start by saying I like LA Knight, and I'm totally behind all of it, but I be a little critical. I think I need a little more from him though in his promos. I disagree a little, Wade, with what you said earlier, that it wasn't all cliches and catchphrases, and I thought it was, you know, and I think it always is, and. While I like those,
I don't think calling out Roman for suffer and succotash is his cliche. I think that's Knight stepping up and holding back.
I hear you. I agree with you. But I just, what I'm saying is I just feel like I need to connect with him a little bit more. Not using that word to like sound like a wrestling guy, connect with him. But so Roman said, have you ever had even been in a contract signing? Have you ever had a championship match? You know, I feel like I wanted more from him than, well, you said succotash and, you know, so you weren't always cool.
You
know, I liked the line. I don't think it was terrible or anything.
Yeah. Joe, let me insert here. When Rain said, it's your first time, so I'll take it easy on you. I mean, way Rain still had that line. It was just awesome. I mean, it just his smug self-satisfaction with the innuendo and how clever he thought he was, and frankly he was. Was great, but Knight going, my God, that's sweet of you. Like, I mean, it was just a perfect comeback. Like, he wasn't rattled. He was just like, aw,
right.
How sweet of you to take it easy on me my first time. Like, he did deliver more. To me, like, Knight reacted to Reigns with a tone and body language that said, this guy isn't some nervous guy who has this real narrow lane of leaning on 3 or 4 phrases. He sat there with the sunglasses on, leaned in, and dished to Roman in a way that was believable, didn't feel heavily scripted. Obviously, they worked that stuff all out. But if you work it out and you can deliver like those two did, it works. Roman's a pro. Heyman, facial expressions and body language, great supporting
in
that role.
Yeah. I thought it was – look, I don't think it was bad, right? I think it was good. I liked it. I liked that he sat at the head of the table. Jay mentioned the Stone Cold-esque, so Stone Cold-esque to while Roman is doing his 5-minute entrance for the music to hit and him to walk right by him, you know, not even acknowledging his presence, you know, speaking of acknowledge me, not acknowledging him. I thought that was great. I just think that – I think that tonight, I think he was funny, but I think that all of his lines tend to be lines that are setting up to his catchphrases. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, I would have liked to see him, you know, just sometimes, more often than he has, when Roman says, oh, so have you ever even been here? Have you ever been on this stage? For him to talk about, like, his background, not to get sappy about it, but just to, like, give us some insight as to, like, where he came from or why it has taken him this long or where has he been all these years? Do you know what I mean? Or,
well, he
you
covers
know,
that in the midst.
A little bit of his struggle, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Joe, Travis has a good point. Joe, Travis has interjected with a good point. So Travis, go ahead.
They covered. That was kind of the whole purpose of the Miz feud, was to air all this out and do it in a way where you have the least amount of the least resistance with the fan reaction. Like they're not going to turn against him when he's facing the Miz, even with the Miz calling him out and saying telling some harsh truths. Like that's what all that was for.
And I loved that,
to get all that out of the way. And LA had his comebacks, had his answers. This is where I've been. It might have taken me, 20 years to get here, but I'm here now, and scratched and clawed, and been there, done that. I don't need them to cover that with Roman again.
No, and I don't mean doing it the same way. I don't mean doing it in the exact same way. I'm just saying that I feel like I need to connect to him a little bit more. And I think you guys were talking about, or it's just my opinion that, you were talking earlier about, if when he loses, because we all know he's going to lose, how do you, keep him from, falling off into obscurity, which I don't think is going to happen. And I think for fans like me that grew up during the Attitude Era and the Stone Colds and the Rocks, and as awesome as that was, we've heard it all, we've seen it all in terms of the catchphrases and the famous lines, you know what I'm saying? And I love that LA Knight has all that, but I just feel like I personally, when I watch him, and in watching him, I love him because of his music, the fact that he wears the Timberlands to the ring. I love that. I like his sunglasses. I like his yeah. I like his na-na. And I like his when he's used the phrase before. It wasn't the first time. But that's just a fact. That's not a whatever. That's just a fact. Love all that. But I feel I hear more of that than anything about him. And and it's the same reason I don't really love, Seth Rollins. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Seth Rollins' character right now is, I always talk about when he's got a little more grit, a little more seriousness, that he's more interesting to me than all of just the standard stuff.
So,
that's just my thing.
That's a good example. I want to jump in. I think with LA Knight, there's one, as Travis said, they already kind of covered that. I don't think you want to, don't want to say dwell on it, because I wouldn't say that would be dwelling on. But his brand is what worked tonight. And I think straying from it tonight in the way that he did, suffering succotash, all that sweetia, actually responding in the moment to Roman, trying to take him down a notch, and LA Knight's got an answer, that's establishing in the way that it's presented, he's quick on his feet, and he's confident, and he's not easily shaken. I think his brand is that. I don't think his brand is showing his insecurities or spending too much time talking about his long journey. I don't know that that's what people want from him right now.
He's not Cody.
That's a card you can That's a card you can play later if you want to go a different direction with him. But just go with what's working with him right now. It's very simple. He is what we saw tonight, and I don't think you mess with it beyond what they did with the Miz thing. So I'm okay with where they are.
Right. And you know what? And it's a small nitpick, because I have to tell you, and it's going to come across with everything I just said, that I'm a huge fan of him. I know he's not going to win, but I think that there's so many great things for him. And you're right. There's more to come. There's more. You know what I just think about, and then I'll move off the topic. I think about when, Cena, we'll get to him in just 2 seconds, when he went off on Theory, just sort of when you can get into it, you know what I mean? When it's meaty and Cena's just firing off, and I just wonder if LA Knight were to go toe to toe with somebody like that, that's going for his neck, you know what I'm saying? Would he be able to combat that? That's all. And I only time will tell. And I hope he does. So from there, I'll since I mentioned Cena, I thought was the best segment on the show probably was the Cena Paul Heyman solo, and not because of Cena, pandering Cena's just not doing it for me. I know I'm sounding really negative tonight, and I actually really like the show, so I don't mean to sound, but pandering Cena, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, once you guys agree with that,
it's not even
I
the
feel
pandering,
like,
me at least.
Yeah, Joel, I'll pause you. Go ahead, Travis.
It didn't work for me in 2015 when they were doing the Cena's getting old stuff. And it's not working for me in 2023, even though he is, you know, 8 years older or whatever. It's just, you know, the my record, I haven't won a match. Like, what? Like, who's – nobody's checking for your record. You're special attraction John Cena now. You're not.
Yeah.
Who cares about your friggin'
– When he said for the first time in 20 years, he feels he's in jeopardy of losing their support and respect. I wrote in my report, oh, please. Like, it's just so over the top. And I don't know if he believes it or not. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I guess it does, because I don't know if I'd rather he believe it and he's just that much of a dork, or he doesn't mean it and he just thinks that low of the audience. But I shouldn't say that low of the audience, because they're reacting to him better than ever, or certainly at a peak level for him in terms of fan support. But it is way too much. I mean, the fake retirement last week and – just the facial expression, it's so grim, and it's sort of gag-inducing to me. But that said, I think by the end, he turned it around. I think it worked. You know what I mean? Like, I was irritated by him, and I was like, oh, please, come on. But Heyman, I thought, put in one of his better performances we've seen in a long time opposite of Cena. And the line, you could have been me. Like, if you leaned into your talking and not your wrestling, you could have been me. I can do this for 100 years, and you're running out of steam because you're leaning on what's going on in the ring. And then tying that into the solo spike, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really, really effective. Travis, what'd you think of that? And then
I thought it was, too. I like the voice stuff. But it's one of those things, it's like, oh, man, this is the only – pro wrestling is the only – place where you can get away with something like that, because Solo's been thumbing people in the throat for 8 months now, and nobody's lost their voice. And now it's like this big, like, well, not big. It's just like kind of a focal point of, you know, he's building to this point, and it's, you know, and Solo can take away your voice. Like, yeah, if he did it like 17 straight times, maybe. But you guys, he's going to hit him once with it, and hopefully for Solo's sake, and pin him afterwards.
Would it have been better if Heyman said he's not just trying to pin you, he's going to aim that spike?
He's trying to make you, you know. But he said it like, that's just what happens with Solo. Like, no. That's why.
Let me get to the end of my question.
Yeah.
Would it have been better if Heyman had said Solo beats people with that spike? But he knows how to take away your voice. He knows how to shift it to take out your vocal cord.
Yeah.
And then
he knows how
to
aim
for
the larynx.
Would you have liked a little more, you know, Gorilla Monsoon specifics about the technique leading to the – or do you think not many people are thinking what you're thinking? Because
I think
not
too many people are thinking what I'm thinking. Yeah. And they might – like, say Heyman brought that up in creative. Like, maybe I should, like – and they're probably like, no need to get in the weeds on that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that as big a deal. Yeah. You know, some nerd will talk about it on a podcast or internet radio, but that's, you know.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let me bring Joe back. Joe, any follow-up or any other topics you want to bring up?
Yeah, I wasn't even – it's funny you mentioned that, because I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the fact that he spikes everybody. And I was like, oh, yeah, don't – yeah, Cena's – that might be all he has left.
Again, wrestling's the only place that can work.
Yeah.
I've
trained
to spend years. I've been watching for a long time. So, yeah, so they got me. But, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say that that Paul Heyman totally saved that. And I thought also it was one of his better performances in a while. You know, sometimes you forget – well, you never forget how great Paul Heyman is, but those moments when he gets in the ring and he just makes so much sense, you know what I mean? And like, and I also like that Solo didn't do the shenanigans where like the music played and he turned around and, you know, Solo came from the other direction. Like, Heyman hit his line. We see Solo come up from behind John Cena like the heel should and nail him from behind, you know? And that was it. And I thought that was...
I,
go ahead, Trav. I'm sorry.
Sorry, but I was a little disappointed in the audience in that moment.
They didn't warn him enough?
They did not warn him nearly enough. They should have been, watch your back, like, Sana. Like, they're just like, no, because it's no matter what we say, he's not going to turn around because we're screaming and yelling. And I think, you know,
they didn't warn him at all.
Thinking that, but it's you know, you're not that emotionally involved as you would have been maybe in the past, let's just say. So, I don't know. I just thought, yeah, like, oh, yeah, you cheer Cena and you're, you know, let's go Cena and all that. You still got it. But when the guy's coming to sneak him from behind, like six people warned him in the whole damn crowd. It was a little much for me at the moment.
Joe, anything else?
No, I mean, I think that's going to do it for me. Thanks so much for taking my call. It's funny because I know that they are taping again, or they were taping again for the second episode when they were in Albany. The last time they went to – I live in Albany, obviously. And the last time they went to Saudi Arabia, it was the same situation. They had SmackDown, and then they taped the one right after for us because they were heading out overseas. And I remember from that night – I did have a few drinks that night, but I remember that, like – the episodes just like flowed right into each other, and it was a really fun night of wrestling, and it didn't seem very, very long at all. So I hope the folks watching tonight in Wisconsin, right, are having a good time. And thanks,
Milwaukee,
guys, for taking my
time. Thanks, Joe. Good conversation. If you're live streaming, you're invited to join us still. 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. That flags you on our switchboard, so we know you want to be on the show. All right, we'll go to Sean in Murfreesboro next. Sean, welcome to the show. What's on your mind about SmackDown?
Here, I got a question. Travis, do you think that he should play my music? Like, what do you think? Just to make him mad?
No.
Just to drive him insane? No, okay, good. That's
nope,
fair.
No,
that's
music
fair. Today. That's a good point. I was with you, too. I'm with you, too. I'm with you on that. No, and I want to say, too, Jay actually gave me the best compliment ever, so I got to compliment him because he was like he called me at one point, Travis, the ultimate baby face, and I was like, I don't know what better compliment you can give than that. So I got to give it up to Jay and Brad and all the callers. They all do a great job, but no, that was I had to bring that up. But real quick, I wanted to just say one quick thing about LA Knight, and I'll go off that because I don't want to harp on that. We've talked about it enough. But I was worried that in the match, Roman and all of them would interfere, and they didn't. They gave him the clean win, which I loved. I loved that. Are you guys with me on that? I thought that was really good. Give him a clean win going into the pay-per-view.
Oh, they needed
and,
that,
you know, go from there.
Tough night for Jay.
Yeah. for Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah,
bad night for Jimmy.
And,
yes.
I don't know if they go, well, that'll give that's the out for him, but it's just kind of like, oof, tough night. And,
yeah, so –
No, it's all you.
Going to the I want to switch complete gears because we haven't talked about it at all, and I think it needs to be brought up. I really liked Bianca's promo tonight. I thought it was really good, a good introduction to have her back on TV. I thought, you know, even though I'm – the only thing about her act that I guess I don't like, I don't mind the skipping, and we've talked about this many times, and I'm with, you know – I just don't like the twirling as much. I guess the twirling does get old to me because she just does it all the time. I wish she would kind of, you know, do it just at times when
save it for special occasions.
Fine.
Like when she's entertaining
too much.
Little girls at an appearance.
Oh.
Wow. Hold on, Sean. Before you go further, because I don't want to throw a compliment out like you did and then start taking shots. I thought you were great tonight. I thought this was a real person talking about real life and what a real athlete goes through. She got taken out. She's been gone for months. I'm physically able to recover from injuries, but mentally it's never been like this. And I have plotted what I'm going to do. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out each of them one at a time. It was real. She didn't lean on some catchphrase that some 70-year-old white man said, hey, do that and that'll be your thing. Don't do anything else but that and you'll be over. This was like a three-dimensional person. She got to be that like she is on all her non-scripted TV promos when she does appearances. I thought this was like a really good sign for her and a step forward and right in the category of what I wanted to see from her. And granted, she had a lot to talk about because she's been gone for so long. Maybe there's regression. But this just felt like a real person whose personality speaks for itself without just picking out two or three things and amplifying them in a cartoonish way. I thought her ring entrance had a more serious vibe to it too, even with the twirling and the skipping and the strutting. It felt like, all right, this is my thing, but I got something on my mind. I'm not just going through the motions. And when that mic's in my hand, I got things to say. I thought she hit the right chord tonight, Travis. Did it come across that way to you at all?
Yeah, it was everything. What stuck out to me was a woman talking about vengeance, like in that way, like, you know, like most vengeance fantasy stories are, you know,
right.
Liam Neeson coming to get you and get his wife and daughter back, or, you know, they did me wrong, or they killed my master and I got to go, you know, the old kung fu trope. But yeah, so hear her say, I got vengeance on my mind, but still be a baby face, because that can easily make you sound like a bit of a psychopath if you, you know. But she's like, no, you guys did me dirty, and I'm going to get you back fair and square and one at a time. And I would have even gone as far as that. And if Dakota wanted to stick her nose in, I'll put her back on the shelf or something like that. But they didn't. Obviously, she didn't go there. Because I guess technically Dakota didn't do anything to her. But, you know, she was cheering them on and plotting in the room when they were plotting. So she's just as guilty. And I think she was backstage when they busted her knee up. I'm pretty sure I saw her in the replay that they showed earlier. But, yeah, no, good stuff from Bianca. And I'm looking forward to seeing her match with Bayley next week, almost more than the title match, because, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right, Sean, thank you.
Well, here's what I wanted to go with is, number one, I'm not excited to see Bianca beat Bayley again, because Bayley doesn't need to be beat anymore. I just think they need to stop beating Bayley, Travis. I don't think that's good. I mean, it's good because Bianca needs it, because she's got to win to, you know, for the title match to make it feel even more important. But with Io, I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the fact that they're going to this almost too soon. I think they need to build more to this. Bianca just got back. I think we should build to it. And Io, I think, has just felt very – I mean, her matches have been good since she's been champion, but I just don't think they've built her as a very strong champion. And I'm worried that Bianca's going to win, because I just think if she does – which, again, I'm not against Bianca if she does retain get the title back, because I think she can do really good stuff with the title. I just think they – it was a waste at that point of Io having a title. I just feel like it's been unimportant since she's had it. I mean, do you guys think that Bianca's going to win in Saudi Arabia? Because I think they might go that route.
Maybe that's why you take it off of her.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Travis. I don't think it's working. I think people want to see Io as a baby face, and I think people are just kind of counting down the days till they get there. Maybe they're waiting for Belair to come back in order to kind of tell that story after she regains the belt. But Io being a champion who – you know, I mean, I don't think she's been an awful heel, but they're just, you know, her ring style and her appearance and her personality is just feels more, you know, fit to be a babyface. So to me, just, let's turn the page on it. You know, people think that about MJF. Like, it's not like MJF isn't talented and going to be a huge star and make a lot of money in this business, but this title reign's been kind of all over the place, and it's been thrown off by different things out of his control, and there's been some decisions that have not been great. And it's like, sometimes you just go, all right, let's just move to something else and regroup and get back to it. And so to me, Belair coming back and winning the title is the right way to go. I think she's a star, and I don't think you want her to come back after months off and come up short. I mean, you can make the argument, oh, it's in the chase. You know, and if you can tell a good chase story, that's fine. But to me, I don't know. It's just Belair's a star. Give her the belt and start feeding heel, you know, having heels come after her.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what I'm saying. I like it if they go that route. Yeah.
That can be how EO turns. I don't know when you do it, but, you know, Bianca's the champion and Damage Control, you know, they're in a tizzy and they want to, you know, get revenge and get the thing back and embarrass Bianca. And EO's kind of over it. Like,
she's, you know, I don't know how you have EO cut the promo or whatever. Maybe you do like you do with Asuka and then have translate, you know, have subtitles. But you have her like, hey, she's this fighting champ. She's this champion who lost her title on a cash in and then got taken out. And then she fought her way back and, you know, and won. I don't feel right taking that from her, at least not like this. Like, I want to win. I want to match with her, sure, for championship, but I want to do it. You know, I'm not really feeling the damage control ways. And do what you know they've wanted to pull the trigger over the last 6-8 months. It seems like they've been teasing a EO leaving damage control. And then finally just go with it. Like, and then acknowledge it. Like, I've been feeling conflicted a lot the last however many months. But Bailey always is there to kind of pull me back with her, you know, manipulate me. And, you know, or whatever, or, but I'm over it. And then, you know, I'm doing my own thing and I'm babyface EO Sky.
Yeah. Yep. I like that.
And she, oh, the whole point was leading up to, and she saves, Bianca from a, you know, say Dakota and Bailey putting the boots to her and hopefully Dakota's maybe close to coming back.
Yeah.
So it's not completely over with damage control. Want to do something going forward. So, yeah.
Yep. All right, Sean, back to you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I think, you know, Bianca winning the title, it is overall the right decision. It's just I think they could have done more with EO's title reign. I think it could have meant more. Hopefully, when they turn her face, whenever that is, I don't want her to go against Bayley right away just because Bayley's lost too much, and I just don't think it's going to help EO when beating Bayley at this point. I mean, Bayley's lost to everybody. You know, it's sad. But I want to talk about a match we haven't brought up. Well, actually, going back to the women's division really, really fast, talking about the other match that happened tonight, which I wish – I mean, Chelsea Green, I actually really enjoy Chelsea a lot. I think she's really, really good in her role, very good. Shotzi's just She's just not good, guys. I mean, she needs to be off
not
TV.
Good.
She's
not.
Not good.
She's not. She's
it's,
not
it's
good.
Awful. It's awful.
She scares me sometimes, and this is not the matchup you want. That Chelsea Green is not known as, you know, she's not a wrestler's wrestler. She's a sports entertainer. She is, you know, adequate at her job. And she is more personality than she is athlete. And that is not somebody that you want in a match with Shotzi Blackheart. You know, it's just, yeah. Oof. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. Shotzi is not good. And I forget when it was, but it was about a year ago. She had a match on – oh, she had a match with Charlotte, and it was abysmal. And I was like, wow, if you can't have a – it's one thing Charlotte can do is, you know, get a good match out of someone. And not Shotzi, though.
Yeah. Going back to the match, we haven't talked about it at all. And I think people are going to ask the question about it, and I wanted to ask you guys the question. But I have my thought on it. I really liked the Dragon Lee-Cedric match. I really liked it. I think a lot of people are going to say, if Cedric's lost all the time, you know, Dragon Lee should just whoop Cedric Alexander. I think for the people who don't know Dragon Lee, I think you need to show off his moveset and have a really good match with a guy that can have a really good match. And I think Cedric is that guy. Yeah. And they did the right
perfect
thing. Dragon Lee won the match like he should have. Yeah, I loved it. I loved everything about it. What did you guys think about it? I loved it.
I thought they did a great job taking a match that almost nobody would, you know, inherently care about and told a little backstory. You know, I mean, Cole's out there going, hey, Cedric's tired of being on the bench. And he saw an opportunity to step up. He got inspired by seeing someone in a position that he was once in. Cedric told that story. It's like, I had that moment with Paul, with Triple H, and the crowd is chanting for me. And now you're
and then
the
they showed it later.
Yeah.
It was
yes, exactly.
Right.
It's just... I thought they did I mean, it's not like a big difference maker. It's not like, oh, WWE turned their business around. Hey, there's gonna be 3,000 extra people in the building next week. That's not the point of everything. Sometimes it's just getting the most out of something and showing that you care enough to put that kind of energy into a 10-minute segment on your show. And it was like professional of them to say, hey, we want to feature Dragon Lee in an athletic match, like you said, Sean, that shows off his moveset. And we want to get Cedric back on TV. He's been off long enough. We've got a story we can tell there. It was a good story. It was relatable. It felt real. And I thought Cedric raising his hand and going, hey, this guy's good. He beat me. Instead of, you know, automatically being an angle right now where he clotheslines him for, you know, and attacks him for a rematch. It was nice. Like, yeah.
Here's a point I've been trying to, you know, work in, and hey, here we go. The thing I like about the Triple H regime, if you want, for lack of a better term, is the middle of his shows, right? Like the main event stuff, like the beginning of the contract signing and then the match and angle at the end. Good stuff. But everything in between, even Shotzi and Chelsea Green, I didn't care for the match, but there was a reason for the match. The match got set up between like Shotzi has personality. She's quirky and she's cool.
Right.
She's nice to look at, you know, and just different. And that's always a good thing. And not always, but that's it's certainly in this case, it's a good thing. And they just were, they're just telling logical stories, nothing groundbreaking. It's just, instead of just throwing this match out there for what seems like no good reason, and it, and just that little bit of time Piper gets to stand there next to, you know, so she's slowly coming along and getting to finally say some things and get her personality over a little more. And that team is more than just, oh, she's bullied her into it. It's like, well, now they're a team and they're trying to make it work. And it looks like they might even start liking each other. And that'd be interesting. But it set up the match. And the same thing was, and you guys said it with Cedric and Dragon Lee. And then there was another mid-card match kind of in the middle that was just good. I even like Jamie Noble. Actually, he's like, yeah, you're right. That's the stupid thing, or whatever. Like the point that the babyface is trying to make. It's just fun, logical things that you would expect to see on a wrestling show, and it's just.
I think it's a great point. There's more of a dedication to more. They're dedicated to getting the most they can out of more than just the top, you know, four or five acts that Vince McMahon's interested in. I remember, you know, when Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara, when I interviewed them after their time in WWF and, you know, writing the shows at Vince McMahon's dining room table. And they're like, yeah, Vince goes, what do you got for Austin?
What do you got for Austin?
What do you got for Rock? And then that's it. And everything else is like, Russo and Ferrara got to do it.
I'll prove everything else when you bring it to me. And,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that was Vince. And you know, Paul Levesque's been working hard at getting people over in NXT because he didn't have the big stars. So, you know, he's had practice. He's, you know, he had a real incentive to do that. And he's bringing that over with him to the main roster.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Sean, anything else?
Yeah, and then that's what I've brought up in, you know, because I've talked, you know, you've heard me way talk about, you know, WWE, how there's things they're not good at, but they're running rings around AEW right now. I'm sorry, they just are in so many areas. I mean, yeah, they put on great matches, but WWE tells better stories, and that's what I love about wrestling. I enjoy that way more. I mean, I love a great match, of course. Who doesn't? But I wanted to say the one thing you brought up about the when Logan attacked Ray in the back, I understand, like, well, you said it, Wade. I liked that Santos said, oh, go check on Ray. But it still, in a lot of ways, makes the baby faces look dumb because he's still going against two people, basically three people on his own.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think
Ray's a grown man with a bunch of trainers and security backstage. It'll be fine.
And it is Logan. It wasn't an ongoing 4-on-1 attack. It was he got hit, he's knocked down. Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a criticism of the show and what they did, that felt a little like pandering to Ray. Like it was someone's mom or dad backstage. That's one thing, but it's Ray. He's a US champion.
Yeah. He didn't need that.
But the show,
they didn't need that out. No.
So the show as a whole was very good. Like you guys have brought up, I really liked the show a lot. I mean, it was from top to bottom. There wasn't a lot of stuff that you just, other than Cena, everything else in Cena, Better lose to Sokoa, because if he doesn't, it's going to be really frustrating, because Sokoa needs a big win like that, and that would be a good win to have. And Hollywood, please bring the writers back so we can get Cena back to doing his thing, what he's good at right now, and just have him get out of WWE, because he just isn't good for WWE right now. And I just think, I liked him for a long time, but he's just not for me anymore. But Wade, you and Jason do a great job. The flagship was great. You and Todd always do fantastic. And Travis, man, I appreciate what you guys bring. And I appreciate you taking my call as always.
Sure thing. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. What do you think, Travis, they're going to do with Cena, speaking of what John brought up there, Cena and Solo? What's the finish? I mean, Heyman said it's a spoiler.
Yeah, but Cena also, I mean, he didn't guarantee it, but he damn near did, right?
So what happens? What happens?
I think so.
That's the point. Heyman's not going to guarantee a Solo win and then a Solo lose. But Cena's like, oh, if I lose, y'all are going to give up on me. I mean, what's he going to do? Come out there and go, I feel like I've let you down and I need to step away. And the fans are like, no, don't. He goes, oh, okay, I guess I was wrong. I guess you love me more than I realized. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm prepared for the worst for Cena's follow-up promo. I mean, Cena, I think, has, to me, he's been, like, unbearable. Like, just unbearable. But he's over, so it's not all about me. And the crowd
into way. Jeez.
Oh God.
I mean, it's not great. And the puppy dog eye stuff is a little annoying, but it's not unbearable.
You're always defending Cena. What's up with you? All right. Wanna go to I wanna end somewhat quick. We covered a lot of stuff here, but let me go to this email from Ed in High Desert, California. Good evening, Wade and Travis. It's been a while. Over the last 3 months, I haven't watched much WWE. I've kept up mostly through the torch and reading comments. Just simply focusing on SmackDown and the lack of interest, Roman, for 6 months since WrestleMania, has done next to nothing. His title and position have been meaningless. His match with Jay wasn't about a title or ending Roman's run. Roman disappearing for so long hasn't helped. His run and title are so cold. It's not that he needs to be there every week and wrestle every time, but he has become a joke. Okay, so I'm going to pause there. I just disagree. And normally I'm against absentee champions, but that's Roman's gimmick. His gimmick is he's above it. He gets to pick his spots. I know it's silly and it deserves occasional parenthetical criticism that being a champion for a, like, if Super Bowl champions weren't ranked or touted for how many Super Bowls they won, but if they just won a Super Bowl and then they just didn't play a Super Bowl for 4 years and they go, they've been the Super Bowl champs for 5 years, that'd be stupid. And it's not that different talking about how many days Roman has held it when his defense per day ratio is lower than any champion in history who's held it for at least 6 months. So there is that. But it's working. I mean, the camera angles tonight in Milwaukee, they picked an angle where there was a ring around the whole upper deck, and you could see every seat filled. They showed the hard cam side. They had it a little darkened, you know, where the camera is, but it was full everywhere. It's working. Roman wrestling is now a big deal. It's a special deal. He earned it in the literal sense. Because he's not having to travel every week to be at SmackDown. And you know what they've done? They've turned it into a feature, not a flaw. He's part of every show because everything about Jimmy and Jay and Sammy for a while was about him and Solo and Heyman. And Heyman's always talking to him on the phone. They've carried that over recently now where week after week, if Roman's not around, what will Roman think of what's happening? You're thinking about it. There's champions who just disappear and they just tell other stories. Roman's story is told every week in his absence. And when he shows up, you've built this tension. How is he going to react to what's been going on when he's been gone? Sometimes they handle it better than others, but they have found a way to take someone who's only there one out of four, one out of six, one out of 7 weeks sometimes. I don't know what the pat. I don't know the stats in front of me, but he's part of the show every week, even when he's not there. So he's not a joke. He's the most successful center star we've seen in years. Go ahead, Travis. Yeah.
I was going to take issue specifically with him calling his reign a joke. That's a joke to call it. That's absurd. And the idea that he's not there, like you pointed out. Like, compare this to the Lesnar reign, the year-long or whatever, you know, when Lesnar had the title, but he only showed up for the big four. Like, remember that? Yeah. Like, that was an absentee champion, if you want to call one. That was a bit of a joke because – the show was not revolve around him. It wasn't about him. He wasn't there when he wasn't there. He just wasn't there, and he wasn't there for months at a time. And yeah, and it's such a big difference. And the biggest difference is the interest in the fan interest. If you go back and compare that reign to any time in the last 3 years,
with Roman. So, yeah, it works for me, and it seems to be working for, you know, 2.5 million other people.
Yep, I agree. Okay, so going back to Ed, as for LA Knight, with nothing against him, what exactly has he done to warrant the love? I like certain wrestlers regardless of what they do or don't do, so I get people liking him. But in the last year, what is one thing that's been significant that he's done, a memorable feud, a moment, something? My point isn't to knock him at the moment, but it is interesting how little there has really been. For me, Roman versus Knight is meaningless and doesn't in any way draw interest for me. I know the product overall is hot, but oddly enough for me, it has coincided with less interest. Thanks for the hard work and great content. Go VIP. You won't be disappointed. Travis, fair point. What is LA Knight's moment or two or three that somebody who hasn't been watching it shows up and goes, who's this guy in sunglasses sitting opposite of Roman, showing him up on the microphone or getting these you know, comeback lines and leaving him lying at the end of the show? What's he done? What have I missed? What is it that led to LA Knight getting over like this?
The constant cheers and pops and T-shirt sales.
So it's sort of in reverse. He's over because he's over.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what? Don't question it.
Yeah.
Like if
what
like
you
your
care?
Thing. If
it's
your
like,
boss
as a,
comes
fan
in,
watching
Travis,
on TV.
Travis, if your boss comes in at your full-time job, pulls you aside, and you're like, oh, God, what'd I do? He goes, we want to double your pay. You're like, what? Well, I've had more sick days this year. I feel like I've been – you don't say that. You just go, thank you. I will take it. Whatever your rationale is, pay me double, and I will continue to – you know, I'll be here. I mean, don't worry. Like, if you're WWE, like, there's – and fans, the same thing.
Well, the fans.
LA Knight's over. What has he done? You know how many times they've tried to get someone over, and it hasn't worked? Here, they didn't try to get him over, and it worked. Or it didn't work. He's over it despite that. So, yeah, just, like – it's not doesn't happen a lot. So
it's the trauma of the last 15 years of WWE TV. It's we're conditioned to, you know, for certain things, and you know, when we get like just kind of normal run of the mill logical story linear storytelling, it's strange what's happening. I don't understand why.
Yeah, WWE tried so hard to get like John Cena cheered, Roman Reigns cheered. There's, you know, there's been so many attempts to get so many people over, and it hasn't worked.
Right.
And when
someone does come along organically and naturally, they always worked against it. Like, how dare you? They took it personally that the fans picked someone instead of going, oh, thanks, made our lives a lot easier. They Vince seemed to take it the other way and feel slighted. Like, I didn't give him to you. I didn't prepare you. I didn't tell you to cheer him. Why are you so happy he's here?
Yes.
Take the win, fam.
Yes. Let me think. Anything else you want to bring up, Travis, from the show tonight?
No.
Oh, Nick Aldis. I want to ask you this. I asked you a question and then jump on it. Stephanie. Nick Aldis didn't overdo it tonight. Like, I like that. Okay, he's new, but you don't just make every week something big that he's doing. He just oversaw the contract signing. That's it. You know, like, that's good. There should be an off week where he's not like, oh, it's all about the GMs now. That's encouraging. He can be a supporting player who's not doing something significant every single week. And so I want to know what you think.
And he was there to set up the Shotzi and Chelsea Green match. You know,
yep.
But yeah, just simple kind of just being an even-handed authority figure. And, you know, yeah, that's not, things aren't revolved around, but you're just there doing your job. Yeah, letting the fans get to know you.
If Logan Paul wasn't a celebrity, and he just got promoted from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And was doing what he's doing, would people be going, this is going to be a huge star? Or they'd be like, who's this guy? Like, I thought his thing backstage with, I think it was Kathy Kelly, and it's like, you know, I don't want people
catch
to know.
Your mind.
Yeah, but, well, I'm building up.
Sorry.
He said he doesn't want people to know what his next move is. And then he yanks the mic and then hands it back. Like, see, I thought I was going to take the mic, but then I give it back to you because I don't want people to know what I'm going to do next. Like, like, that's funny and clever and dickish all at the same time.
And then and you think he's going to answer the second question, and he
yep.
just walks away.
Totally. Anything else for me? Bye. I just – he's really unnatural at this. Like, it's really – I mean, I just – I mean, I don't want him to succeed. I don't want to like him. I mean, I don't really feel strongly. But it's like, you don't want some interloper from social media who has made all these youthful mistakes in judgment that rightfully some people are going to hold against him forever, and I get that. You don't want somebody like that to show up and just suddenly be great. But you know what? He's really good, and he works hard. And every report backstage is he came in humble, without an attitude, hungry to learn, wanting to work hard, and respectful of everybody. And you know what? He grew up. So be it. You let him grow up. You don't have to forgive everybody for everything. But, I mean, I just think credit to him. He's good. He doesn't feel like an outsider in a way that is counterproductive to him contributing, but he feels like an outsider in the sense that when he appears, it does feel kind of special. It feels different. And it's just not really like anything we've seen before because he's not going to be full-time every week year round, but he also isn't just so part-time. He just shows up for a match. You know, not Pat. I don't know who to compare. I was going to say Pat McAfee, but he was, you know, a color commentator and that was more of a joke. So yeah, I enjoy his work and he's contributing. And I like the idea of LA Knight and him next, which could be a lot of fun if they do that. Yeah. I'm looking at anything else. I think we got everything covered. So I'm good signing off. If you are, Travis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody. Great calls. Thanks to everybody who contributed. Thanks to our listeners. Thank you, Travis. Tell people about your VIP show as we sign off here.
Rich Fan and I do a show most Wednesdays out of the month. East Coast Cast. We've been doing this show for a long time on Torch VIP since 2008. And Rich and I are really good pals and have become really good pals over the decade or so that we've known each other. And it's really just two pals talking about stuff, and wrestling occasionally gets talked about.
Yeah. Cool. All right. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.